Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch it.
And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Final hour, Felger and Maz, as promised, right back to the telephones. Tim in the car on the Patriots. Hi, Tim.
How you guys doing? Couple points. I don't know what's wrong with Hollister, but as far as the Patriots go, I think Belichick and Brady both retire next year. They draft the number one quarterback.
Okay, I'm just going to stop you because I don't like your take. I don't care. Jacob Hollister. The next time some Patriots beat guy in training camp tries to tell me Jacob Hollister looks good in this. Jimmy, would you take them out back and slap them in the face with a moist sausage? Seriously. Enough of it. Like, how much ink is spent on Jacob Hollister every August? And now they're in a spot where the Dwayne Allen, as usual, is... I don't even know when he plays or doesn't play. I honestly don't know. And Gronkowski's clearly not himself to the point where Greg Bedard says they have to go out and get somebody in case Gronkowski can't make it through. Well, Jacob Hollister is still on the roster.
Right, invisible.
What a non-factor that guy is.
And it feels to me like, you know, the odd part to me is that on the few occasions they throw to him, it feels like he catches it. Like he holds on to the ball when they get it to him. And given the number of guys on this team who can't get open and the limited options that they have had, you would think they would be scraping to find anybody who can catch a ball in any kind of space. So that part I don't get. But that aside, like, you know, talk about the hype machine working with Jacob Hollister.
He's just another preseason hero like Austin Carr last year.
Who was that tight end they had that year that had the preseason? Sudfeld.
Yeah, oh, Zach Sudfeld. Yeah, Nate Sudfeld. And then there's a running back every year that you all get horny about because you
Ralph
love
Webb.
You love to get horny for running backs. Billy in Rhode Island's been waiting patiently on the Red Sox and their spending and how far they should extend themselves for Nathan Eovaldi. Go, Billy.
Hey, fella, how you doing?
Thanks, Billy.
Forget the shift. They should go back to the original way they play ball. These pitchers need some pressure on them, believe me. At $30 million a pop, they ought to go back to what they were playing. Secondly, as far as the... I lost my train of thought here.
Red Sox spending is your comment line.
Spending, yeah. As far as spending is concerned, you know, once it gets into the postseason, it goes through the roof. In other words, they have a great postseason. They get all these awards. Right away, they want $10 million more. I mean, it's just a fact of the matter. They got to get off this. Sign these guys up before the postseason or whatever. Make a change because there's no ceiling on this.
Well, so it doesn't work that way. Billy, the players hold out. The players want to get to free agency, and that's when they max their offers. Question is, how much do you pay for a postseason performance? Because really, that's what you're paying Nathan Eovaldi for.
So I told you, I like Eovaldi. I want him back. You got to draw a line somewhere, though. For a guy with his history, 3 years, $40 million is where I stop. That's it. You want to give him some sort of sweetener, that a vesting option for that fourth year, great. But if someone wants to give him 4 years and 60, see you later. Bye-bye. I love the guy. I love what he did. But I'm not paying that.
I am all for the illegal defense in baseball. It's about time they bring it. Mike in Manchester, New Hampshire, what do you think?
So, my question about it was, do you think, have the nerds actually found a difference in the ERA and the average of hitters? And do you think if they actually go back to doing it the way it should be played anyways, do you think the suck pitchers are going to get worse? Or do you think the suck hitters are going to get better?
I think it's going to help the hitters.
Yes, absolutely.
And they have run the numbers. Maz gave you to it before on left-handed hitters.
Yeah, so basically Jason Stark said the rule, the general rule would be that you have to stay on the right side of second base.
No, but what it means in terms of the batting average for left-handed.
Right, so if you use that model, and there's two defenders on the left side and two defenders on the right side, the average would basically go from 224 to 280 on balls hit to the right side. Okay, because most of the shifts are against lefties. So 224 to 280, that's a huge jump. And the hope is that the ripple effect will be that players say, well, now I don't have to try to hit it over the shift anymore. So now I can hit a ground ball through the right side. And it's worth it for me to just swing like I normally would. And so you eliminate some of the strikeouts. You eliminate some of the walks. And then you're getting more balls in play and more action. The absence of, you know, the absence of action in baseball is a problem. So you got to try to something to get it back, and this is a good first step.
I think all those problems we talk about in baseball, not enough balls in play, not enough action, time of game, pace of play, I think the shift is part and parcel with it. The shift is part and parcel. All these teams, it's now max optimization because all the nerds have taken over, and they've figured out that not just bringing over the third baseman to play between first and second base helps, but if it's on one strike, he should go there. If it's on two strikes, you should swap those guys. If it's a 2-2 count, this is what the hitter does, and now in between every pitch, they're running all over the place out there. And so that takes time, and now the hitters aren't trying to defeat it by going the other way or bunting. They're trying to launch the ball over the shift. That's how you defeat the shift. You hit a home run. So that means the counts go deeper. It's either walk, strikeout, or home run. The three true outcomes, that takes longer because the counts are longer. And you have fewer balls in play. It's all part and parcel of the same problem. So absolutely, positively, institute an illegal defense. Why is baseball above it? They do it in basketball. Football has it. Special teams, you can't have so many guys lined up on one side of the field versus the other in a field goal formation. You can't have too many guys lined up here or there. Most every sport has some form of illegal defense. They've even talked about it in hockey. Too many block shots and zone defenses, they're talking about it. Every sport does it. Why is baseball above it?
It shouldn't be above it. And to me, the simple way to say it is that if you let the players run baseball, they'll run it into the ground.
Thank you.
So you need to protect the game from itself.
Nick in Rhode Island, give me a Bruins thought.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call. So quickly, just bear with me while I connect the dots here back to this injury situation in this 2015 draft. So, I mean, with all these guys out right now, you got Bergeron, Chara out for some time. McAvoy's been out for a while. Even Kevin Miller. I mean, you realize how valuable these guys are. I mean, they have no offense. Do you think Torrey Krug is worth top 2 minutes, or is he up at top 4 minutes?
Did you watch him last night?
He's a liability on the defensive side.
He was embarrassing last night.
Without saying. Yeah. So quickly, how I drop this back to 2015 draft. If you have these guys out there that you can really see what they're worth at this point, I mean, Danton Heinen, you harp on him all the time, but I mean, is he really going to be a third line center?
Nope.
Or any of these young kids, Bjork even, are they ready for this? And with all these guys out and all this workload that's being put on them, I don't think that they're in their right spot to be in the spotlight right now.
Okay, so that was sort of my point in a roundabout way. Last night was a hot mess. It was a disgrace. It was absolutely gross how the Bruins played last night. And it just got me thinking about so many things. And I understand them giving up some goals because their decor's depleted. It's you know, no Chara, no McAvoy, no Kevin Miller. Carlo's been in and out. So, yeah, they're going to give up some goals. You have some problems on D. I get it. And Torrey Krug defensively sucks. Last night, Torrey Krug was a joke. Krug was so bad last night. But he's not a good defensive defenseman, and he's your number one guy right now. So, like, I get the goals on the board. You once again couldn't score. You can't leak a drop offensively. You're scoring two goals or less now every night. Last night, I think it was like your fifth shutout. And last night, you played a Florida team that ranks 29th in the league in goals against. A porous defensive team. And you couldn't score, and you didn't even really come close. Pastrnak had a couple chances. That's about it. And that led me to think about the forward injuries. And outside of Bergeron, they don't really have any. They don't. It's Bergeron. I know he's an important guy. I'll give you that. But other than that, that's your team. That's your team. And even if Bergeron's back, he's on that first line, and so that first line scores once or twice, but what's anyone else doing? The whole other lineup's intact. Everyone's healthy. Everyone's out there. And you've got nothing. You've got nothing. No kid has made the next move. Not Heinen, not Donato, not Forrest Bacca Carlson, not Bjork, not Colby Cave. None of that group has more than two goals. They've all been back and forth, in and out of the lineup, down to Providence or not. Heinen might have been in there mostly. But everyone else, back and forth, can't stay in the lineup. You've got two high-priced veterans in Krejci and Backes who've absolutely sucked. Krejci, last night, was put between Marchand and Pastrnak. He was put up in that first line, and the first line got worse. When Krejci got up there, they were worse than when Colby Cave was between those two. David Krejci, 18 games without a goal. Highest paid player on the team, 18 games without a goal. Last four games, 0-0-0 minus four. So that's just, you know, that's a problem in the existing roster. And that, so, and one more. On defense, when I watch, since I still can't, I don't want to remember the guy's name. Connor Clifton, this sixth defenseman who sucks. He cannot play. He sucks. And blows, Maz.
That's a daily double.
Every time I see Connor Clifton out there, fumbling around, I say, boy, this Jacob Zboril must suck. Jacob Zboril was drafted 13 overall in 2015. And so when I do that, and I was so pissed last night, I said, let's go look at the 15 draft. And when you do that, if you as a Bruins fan goes back and looks at the 2015 draft, you will get depressed. You will be depressed at how they blew that opportunity. The Bruins were sitting there in the middle of that first round. They had the 13th, 14th, and 15th pick. Three picks right in the middle of the first round, in a first round that I gave you the list before, I'll give it to you again, might have a dozen all-stars on it. A dozen. A couple, there was no chance you were going to get. You weren't going to get Connor McDavid. He went first, or Eichel, who went second. So I'm not blaming you for not getting McDavid or Eichel. But there is all-star after all-star drafted both right before you picked and right, most tellingly and most disgustingly, right after you picked. All future all-stars that you passed on for Jacob Zboril and Zach Senyshyn. And you also drafted DeBrusque, and he worked out, so fine. But if you had hit on Zboril or Senyshyn, or gotten one of the players just taken right after him, you don't miss McAvoy like you do. You've got a next young forward, and this thing that's starting to build here, because the Bruins look rough right now. Like, look out below. They're in Tampa tomorrow and then home Toronto on Saturday, and you got to hate their chances when you can't score. They wouldn't look nearly as shaky as they do now if some of those guys had hit. And the whole thing wouldn't look as shaky if some of those guys had hit. When I give you the names in that draft, it'll make you sick to your stomach.
As encouraged as I was last year by the Bruins, I'm every bit as discouraged this year. Like, these young guys, what if they can't play? And it started in that 2015 draft. But what if they can't play? What if it, like, even goes beyond that? What if it spills into 2016 and 17? Because all these guys aren't in that draft. There's a good number of them. What if they can't play?
Connor Clifton. How bad must Zboril suck if he can't get a look over Connor Clifton into his fourth year? It's his fourth year now. It's like, you know, some 19-year-old European kid who doesn't know what. Okay, now it's four years in. And Connor Clifton is getting minutes. Real bad. Zboril can't even get up here. How badly must he suck? And all the back and forth and the problems they've had at forward, the different bodies they've thrown in there, and Zach Senyshyn isn't even mentioned. He was taken 15 overall. And he doesn't even get mentioned in these back and forths. And oh God, the players that went right after those guys. Oh, it's bad. So that's one of the things we hit on. We'll pick it up on the other side with all your calls and all the other stuff right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
With the 15th pick, the Bruins select Zachary Senyshyn from the Sioux Greyhounds.
Again, as Murray would say, And again, I don't think I'm being unfair here. This isn't a singular miss in a singular year, which every team has. You can go to any team in any drafting history and say you missed on this guy that year. That happens to everybody. In 2015, though, the Bruins had three first-round picks back-to-back-to-back, 13, 14, 15, through their trades of Lucic and Hamilton and then their own. 13, 14, 15. And they came up with Jacob Zboril, Jake DeBrusk, Zach Senyshyn, who you just heard there. Zboril and Senyshyn have been complete zeros at the NHL levels. Senyshyn hasn't gotten a sniff. And Zboril played two games this year, and we saw so little in him that they would rather play Connor Clifton, who cannot play. Scary. And frustrating when you consider what happened exactly the next three picks. Never mind the whole first round that saw McDavid, Eichel, Mitch Marner, Noah Hanifin, Ivan Provorov, Zach Werenski, Timo Meier, Mikko Rantanen, and some of these guys you never heard of, but trust me, they're either budding all-stars or superstar. Or, you know, Brock Boeser in Vancouver has already made an all-star game. Travis Konechny is a centerman in Philadelphia who's already played 176 NHL games. Senyshyn is zero. Anthony Beauvallier, 162 NHL games on the island. Center. You think you'd use a center or two? Senyshyn has zero. I didn't even mention Christian Aho before. He's an everyday player, a good player. And where is he? Is it Carolina? Where's Aho?
I think it's Carolina.
That's a good player. There's so many players in this draft. And Aho might have been even a second-round pick. He was a second-round pick of Carolina. But he's a legit everyday NHL player. Oh, there are so many guys. There might be 20 All-Stars.
He's killed the Bruins too, that Aho guy.
There might be 20. So, but that now that's a second round pick and more of a flyer. I'm talking about first round graded guys. Okay, so you went Zboril, DeBrusk, Senyshyn, 13, 14, 15 in the first round in 2015. Here are the next three players off the board. Center Matthew Barzal, the New York Islanders. He's already played 110 NHL games with 106 points. He's a point-to-game guy in a league that doesn't have them anymore. If you ever watch the Islanders, he's the guy that gets the puck and then skates circles around everybody in the offensive zone. Goes around and around and around, and no one can get the puck from him. That's Matthew Barzal, stud. 17 overall was forward winger Kyle Connor, who's in Winnipeg. He's already played 123 NHL games, 43 goals. 43 goals. Zach Senyshyn, zero NHL games. Kyle Connor, stud. And then the one that I should have noticed earlier but just haven't, but now that I do, going 18 was a defenseman named Thomas Chabot. He plays in Ottawa. Look up right now goal point leaders among defensemen in the NHL. Who is the leading point getter among defensemen in the National Hockey League? It's not Erik Karlsson. It's not not Chris Letang. It's not P.K. Subban. It's not Brent Burns. It's not Drew Doughty. It's Thomas Chabot.
Shabbat shalom.
Chabot is the top scoring defenseman in the National Hockey League. He went 18th overall when you sat there at 13, 14, and 15 and took Zboril, DeBrusk, and Senyshyn. You tried to get Noah Hanifin at 5. They wouldn't bite. Okay, fine. Provorov in Philadelphia, excellent young defenseman, went 7. Werenski, excellent young defenseman in Columbus, went 8. Could you package up and got one of those guys? Well, you didn't. So if I'm not going to blame you for getting those guys, you're sitting there and you're 13, 14, 15. And here's the thing that was pointed out to me that's just insane, is that Jacob Zboril and Chabot played on the same junior team. They played on the same effing junior team, the St. John Sea Dogs. So your scouts are watching the St. John Sea Dogs, and they have Zboril and they have Thomas Chabot, same draft year, same team, and you're watching them play, I hope a lot that you're doing your due diligence, and you say, no, it's Zboril, it's not Chabot. 4 years later, three, 4 years later, Zboril can't get a call-up, and Chabot's leading the National Hockey League in scoring among defensemen.
I'll tell you, Senishin's the one that drives me crazy because they reached on that pick. You realize he's going to be 22 in the spring?
And he can't even get a sniff with all their injuries.
He's got 8 points, and he's a minus -9 this year for Providence.
I thought he was demoted to the fourth line in Providence.
He's not even Chris Bork. Chris Bork was good in the AHL. This guy's got 8 points, 5 goals, 3 assists, 8 points, and 2 of his goals are on the power play. To me, those shouldn't count.
Say 2015 is as talent-rich a first round as you can imagine. As talent-rich as it gets in sports. And you had 3 first-round picks back-to-back-to-back. And you didn't go empty-handed because you got DeBrusk and he can play and he's fine. But, oh my God, the team would look a lot different right now if you had done a better job with those other picks. And so that just, I thought last night was so bad it caused me to look at the 2015 draft, and that is puke-inducing. So, I just want to reset that topic. Back to your phones here as promised. Dreds in the car on the Patriots and Rob Gronkowski. Go ahead, Dreds.
Hey, guys. How are you doing again today?
Good. What do you got?
Gronk. I mean, I'm pretty much ready to put a fork in him as well after last week. But do you think there's a chance that maybe the warmer weather in Miami might loosen him up a little bit?
Yes. Sure. Why not? But if that's what you're counting on? For warm weather to get Gronk going, then you're porked because you're going to get home playoff games or games at Kansas City. So if that's what you're saying he needs, then I think you're saying he's cooked too.
I mean, to me, I don't know.
He's like an old person who has to go to Florida to get in the heat, so his arthritis is better. I mean, that's what he's saying.
I don't know how you could watch Gronk in this last game and feel good about him. How could you possibly feel good about him? The only way that he may get better for a week is if you have a bye. So the bye going into the playoffs and then the bye going into the Super Bowl, if you get that far, maybe you get a little bit better Gronk than you would in the other games. But this has gone on all year. I mean, how can you possibly look at it at this stage? As Murray pointed out yesterday, he just had a month off. He had a month off before the Jets game. It was a little bit better, and then he totally regressed.
Jack in Melrose on the shift. Hi, Jack.
Hi, guys. I don't want them to get rid of the shift only because it would ruin strategy. Even if they make it like they did the pitch visits.
How would it ruin strategy?
It would ruin strategy because everyone in the league does it. Everyone in the league does it.
One of the problems with baseball is there's too much strategy and it takes too much time pitch to pitch. That's the problem with baseball.
To me, it's really this simple. Can we take the game away from the managers?
Thank you.
And start giving it back to the players?
Well, it's not even the managers, but the nerds.
Okay, but to me, the managers are sort of the extension of the nerds. They're doing what the nerds tell them, but it's about where you're putting guys. It's about how the game is managed.
Too much strategy.
Take it away. I don't want the game in the hands of the nerds and the managers.
Play ball.
Put it back in the hands of the players. Like, this is the issue. I don't want you. Look at all the crap corners thrown out there during the playoffs. And let alone Dave Roberts, for crying out loud. Can we take it away from them and give it back to the players, please?
Jonathan on the Cape, how far should the Sox go on Nathan Eovaldi?
I think we have to go all the way, guys. I mean, you're looking at it as if we have him. You know, we have him to start with, and our name is already in the mix. And the Red Sox, you can't afford to lose a pitcher. I mean, with our limited pitching staff, our limited starter staff, I mean, you really can't afford to lose another guy.
Let me stop you there. Maz, your response.
So, look, I don't love the idea of losing a guy either. Find someone else. You're not going to just let him go and then that's it. You're obviously going to replace him. So what I would say is, unfortunately, at some point, there's a line on every player. And you have to deal in reality. I'm not giving Nathan Eovaldi 4 years and $60 million. I'm not.
Mike and Woburn on the Bruins. Hi, Mike.
Hey, you know what the Bruins went in the last 20 games that 2015 season?
I don't remember.
They had 25 points in 20 games.
Not good. Not great.
Well, that's if you extrapolate over that
you're saying too good.
Season.
You're saying too good.
Too good, because you know what? You weren't in a position to pick any of those defensemen that you just talked about.
Oh, Mike, yourself. But you're in a position to pick Chabot. You're in a position to pick a lot of good players.
And guess what? Carolina was in a position to trade 3 for 1 and get the 3 guys that you're complaining about. So other teams whiffed on them, too. okay?
Huh?
My problem, if Carolina did the Hanifin trade, they would have been in a position to do Hanifin and get all those three guys that you're complaining the Bruins missed on, correct?
Well, no. Why, how do I know who was on their board? Maybe Senishin wasn't on their board. Maybe Barzal was.
No. Yeah, exactly. So Carolina could have gotten, for trading the fifth spot, they could have taken Hanifin, Barzal, and Connor. So other teams didn't know. They didn't. It wasn't a slam dunk, as you say. I'd love it if they did it, if they took all those guys, but it wasn't a slam dunk. My problem, Mike.
Mike, you're wrong. Mike, hold on. If you're saying that their problem in that draft was their draft position, that is messed up, man. Good players went off the board after those draft picks?
Mike, the problem is they had to compete now. That's my point. The edict was you just lost Hamilton. The ownership is demanding playoff appearances. You have to get the most NHL-ready defenseman in the draft. They panicked after they couldn't seal the deal with three picks for Hanifin, and they weren't ready to make the picks where they thought they were because they thought they were going to be able to trade up with that ammunition. That's why you got guys.
They missed on their evaluation,
like
Mike.
Mike, I agree. They missed on the evaluation, but you're letting the ownership off the hook for not letting this team soft reset.
Okay, look, I'll go after the owners as much as the next guy. I've been banned from the locker room for going after the owner. But Mike, get off your freaking sessions. They were in perfect position to draft a lot of good players, and they blew it. Jacob Zboril over Thomas Chabot is not Jeremy Jacobs' fault. It's the scouts' fault and Sweeney's fault and the amateur scouting director's fault. They were sitting right there for him, and they picked the wrong guy. And Matthew Barzal was there for him three straight times. They had three chances. It wasn't like one crack. Whoops, we swung and missed once. They had three cracks at Matthew Barzal, who is filthy good. He's a stud. And they took Zach Senishin. I can't blame the owner for that. Give me a break.
Listen, Mike Mubin is still pissed that they didn't tank.
He wants them to tank.
Right? He wanted them to tank. That's what he's pissed about. But the fact is that the guys that we're talking about were all taken after their three picks. They missed on two of the three. Had they hit on two of the three, I could let it go. I could, because they probably weren't going to go 3 for 3. They probably weren't. The odds are against them. But 1 for 3? After some of the deals they made to put him in that spot, they had to do better than that. It's killing him now.
And I'm telling you, DeBrusque was a hit, but there were players taken after him that were better too. I'm not going to, they got DeBrusque right, but they could have been more right. And the other two, aye. And that's just, I think, one of the reasons they look so rough now with the injuries is because the reinforcements, that well is run dry, it feels like.
Yeah, DeBrusque isn't the problem. No, if they had gotten DeBrusque and Barzal, we'd all be happy.
You'll probably
be happy.
Here's Murray's update. We're back with more.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Felger and Mavs.
I love it.
You were right, Mavs.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Right, so, by the way, the Felger and Mazz off-air show is on tonight, 6:05 on Facebook Live. Felger and Mazz off-air show, 6:05 Facebook Live. Join us. Ty Anderson is going to come up and sit down with me. Ty Anderson, who's covers the Bruins, obviously, for 95 The Sports Hub, and is on the web there. He'll talk Bruins more on this stuff and everything else you want. Anything else you want, you'll hear Ty Anderson swear on the Felger and Mazz off-air show, Facebook Live, 6:05. So join us for that. We continue with your calls here on Felger and Mass. Steven Bilricka on Nathan Eovaldi. What do you think, Steve?
Can I comment on the Bees after Earl Kicks, which you're beating them with the dead horse?
Sure.
Eovaldi was the most important player last year, if you ask me. 1 year, is it going to make it or break it, if you ask me? But, Mike, with the Bruins, listen, they missed out on those draft picks, but you got to think, there could be the system, because, you know, they obviously had the talent, and they didn't give them a big enough sample size. The system could have made them or break them, either good or bad. The talent was there, obviously.
How do you know? I'm sorry to cut you off, but how do you know the talent was there? Sometimes the talent's not there. Sometimes you pick the wrong guy. I don't know. Seems to me like 25 other teams figured it out that year. Players left and right coming off the board in that draft. And you got a couple, too, by the way. You backed into a couple later on in the draft. You did. You got Brandon Carlo in the second round that year. And I don't know if Forsbach or Carlson can play. They think he might be able to a little bit, but you got him in that draft. So there was Lauzon in that draft too?
I think he was, actually, yeah.
And Lauzon's with you.
Oh, no, he was in the same one as McAvoy.
I can't remember.
Anyway, go ahead.
I mentioned this before. Since Cassidy has left Providence, is there less development? Is the development not as good? Because Cassidy did a good job with all those young guys coming through Providence when he was the Providence coach? I don't know. He says that Eovaldi was the most important player for the Red Sox last year. Is that true?
No.
In the playoffs, where would you rank him?
I mean, he's probably in the top three.
In the playoffs, he was top three. Thank you.
Yeah, he's in the top three. I mean, I still think that the price should have been MVP of the World Series. And so, you know, I still don't think he can take J.D. Martinez out of the mix. People like that. But anyway, whatever. He was an important guy. Absolutely. The question isn't whether or not he was important in October. He was. Absolutely. Fact. No question about it. I couldn't have been more wrong about it when they picked him up during the regular season.
It sounds like he's going to be back, too. Is this Robert Murray? No relation.
Wait, hold on. It looks like Eovaldi's going to be back?
Yeah. It's leaning
that. Breaking news?
Well, no, it's just a tweet. Hold
on.
For Christ's sakes. Robert Murray, of a Milwaukee Brewers beat writer and national MLB insider for The Athletic, tweeted, negotiations with Eovaldi intensifying, sources tell The Athletic. Red Sox negotiations with Eovaldi intensifying. So it sounds like he'll be back. I said sounds, not is.
I'm not surprised, though. You could sense that it was going this way.
Oh, I thought it was going the other way.
No. I mean that there's a resolution. I don't mean that he's coming here. I mean that it was going to wrap up. You could get a sense that it was getting closer to the end. The Corbin deal was made, and he's one of the first dominoes. Now you'll see other guys start to fall in place. There's a lot of interest in Eovaldi. And so it started to feel like it was heating up. You're going to get an answer here, I think, by the end of the week.
So
by the end of the day.
Anything over 4 years, $60 million, you think is an overpay?
I think 4 years and 60 is an overpay.
But no, you said 4 years. What did you say?
I'd give him 3 years and 40 with a vesting option. That's what I would give him. If you have to give in somewhere, I'm not guaranteeing 4 years for a guy whose elbow has been, you know, torn apart twice and who throws 102 miles an hour because that thing's going to pop again. The guys who throw that hard, it's unnatural. I'm sorry. It's just the arm's going to pop.
Jay on the Cape has a thought on the shifts. Hi, Jay.
Well, I think the shift should stay. You guys have been arguing that the game should be left to the players. Well, hell, that's the issue.
No,
it isn't.
No, it's not. The players, you think the players came up with the idea to put four guys on one side of the infield? Is that them?
No, the players didn't, but you said the game should be left to them. Well, let's leave it to them by letting them beat the shift. They can do it. Players do.
Jay, we already did that. And you know what we've learned? That they don't try to beat it there. They try to hit over it. So that this is the point. You can't allow them to do it themselves anymore because they've proven incapable of it.
But I still don't think the players are calling that shot either. Launch angle. Do you think the players themselves came up with launch angle?
No.
And spin rate? No. That's some nerd. That's advanced gen, next gen nerd stat. That's a nerd. The nerd is telling the hitter to launch angle over the shift.
True.
The players never came up with the shift themselves. They were told to do it. And now the hitters are told to hit over the shift, not around it. So I think instituting the illegal defense gives the game back to the players and away from the nerds.
Absolutely. To me, I told you, I want the game, make them line up on the field where they were intended to. Make them.
Wayne in Grafton. Hi, Wayne.
Yeah, how you doing? Last night was an embarrassment. The Bruins need to have some sack. I know the days of the big bad Bruins are over. There's a guy out in the Vegas Knights, Ryan Reeves. He's not the answer to the solution. He's an enforcer. But, you talk about launch angle. That's what the Bruins need, because right now they're a bunch of limp peckerheads. Peace out.
Okay, Wayne, thank you. Well said, as usual. Larry in Duxbury on the shifts. Hi, Larry.
Hi, guys. The shift should be banned immediately on other professional sports. Basketball has, you can't have you can't play a zone.
Right.
They have the 3-second violation. In football, they have all kinds of rules about who has to be where when they line up, et cetera, et cetera. And the fact that they can't hit against the shift isn't the issue. I'm sure the definition of the shortstop is where still he plays between second and third base, not somewhere to the right or left of second base and all of that. And I think baseball should step it up. I don't think the fans like it at all. And I think it's time to go back to the way baseball was intended to be.
Okay, babe. I'm into that. And the thing is, we don't just want it. I mean, I think fans are split. And certainly you can tell the demo of the caller. He was different. But the old timers, don't want to change it.
In my day.
Of course.
I don't give a rat's ass about your day.
In your day, there wasn't a nerd in the front office telling the shortstop to go over into right field.
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is, I don't care about anything other than the fact that it's gotten out of control. That's all I care about. So now you need to regulate it. Because if it were something that didn't affect the game, fine, no problem. I mean, it didn't affect the game in a negative way. But the reality is, if this were a few shifts, I wouldn't care. It has gotten out of control. It needs to be regulated.
So,
instinctively, I think a hitter should be able to hit to the opposite field, too. I do. But this is now stupid.
And so, as Jason Stark reported, he thinks it's going to pass because the players want it. The players want it. The hitters want it, for sure. And the hitters outnumber the pitchers.
See, because players know that offensive numbers get paid. So, it's good to promote offense. So in this case, just the shifting is absolutely, it's gotten ridiculous. It is. If you're a shortstop, keep your ass on the left side of second base.
Jim in the car on the Bees. Yes, Jim.
Hey, love the show, guys. I was actually watching that draft, hoping that the Bees would somehow get Hanifin or something like that. But even Pierre McGuire, who knows how every hockey player's jock smells, he even said that they were like projected to get in the picked in the second round.
Seneshin was considered a reach from day one, but his previous caller in the 2 o'clock hour said that all the experts killed the Bruins in that draft the night it happened. And we went back and looked at some of the stuff, and it's true. And again, I think that's a stupid time to gauge a draft because no one really knows. And you hear it all the time. Someone gets a bad grade on draft day, and then 3 years later, they got a couple players out of it, and Mel Kiper, you can go suck it, or vice versa. Someone tells you it was a great pick, and the guy didn't do anything. And you can only tell a draft 2 or 3 years later. So I've been fair about 2015. I haven't said anything until now. Now, we're into the fourth year, and they're decimated by injury, and they have some real needs. And they don't have the guys to fill the spot because the draft year that you should have hit on those players, you didn't. You blew it. 3-4 years later, that's how you gauge a draft. And this one looks scary. Scary.
No, they reached on Seneshin. That's the one that agitates me the most.
And it'd be one thing if no one went after them. If the second half of the first round or the rest of the draft resulted in nothing, then you say, okay, well, what do you want him to do? There's nothing there to take. Fine, fair enough. Oh my God, there were so many good players who went off the board right after him. Oh, so many. All-stars, studs, Barzal, Connor. The leading scoring defenseman in the National Hockey League is Thomas Chabot. He went 18 right after you took Zaboral at 13. That is a killer. Rob in the recliner, go quickly.
Hey, guys. So I'm a solution-oriented guy. I have solved the NFC schedule conference for you. And also, I'm a big fan of, I like the shift. But also, can we incorporate the pitch clock and the shift so it doesn't waste more time?
Yes. Well, no. A illegal defense and the pitch clock. Yes, they need all of it. The problem is the players won't agree to the pitch clock, and Manfred is kind of a puss. I'm coming to learn.
So if the players want to get rid of the shift and Manfred is smart, here's what he says. Fine, we'll get rid of the shifts, but you're going to give us a pitch clock.
Yeah.
And then everybody's happy. And look, I told you, I don't think a 30-second pitch clock's enough. 25 is where I would go if you're going to look to start. Although I just assume they do 20 like they do in the minor leagues.
No, it should be 20.
But if you're saying it gets it in the door and then they can trim it, fine.
Put it on the field. Get that clock in. And then we'll play with the numbers as we go forward. Final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adult is talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go, and that's Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Quickly, Murray, again, the Felger and Maz off-air show with Ty Anderson starts in 10 minutes on Facebook Live. Join us for that. We'll take your calls, your questions, your comments. No calls. We're also on Twitch. I keep forgetting, is that Stitcher or Twitch?
No, it's Twitch.
Twitch. We have our channel on Twitch. Also, we will be live tomorrow from the Seaport Hotel in advance of the Christmas in the City annual fundraiser. Tomorrow, we broadcast live from the Seaport Hotel from 2 to 7. Okay? Because the fundraiser starts at 6. So if you want to get over, see some of the show, but more importantly, join the fundraiser and donate some toys or some cash or check, you know, monetary donations. They'll be happy to take it. Again, if you don't know what Christmas in the City is, go to christmasinthecity.org. We'll explain it more fully tomorrow at the fundraiser, but it's a fundraising partner that we have, and they do great work. And so we've supported them for several years, and tomorrow we're going to join them at their annual fundraiser, Seaport Hotel, tomorrow. So join us there for that. Also, we'll be at Newbury Comics, Christmas in the City, appearance there at the Natick Mall, Newbury Comics, Natick Mall, 2:30 to 4:30, Saturday. Okay? We'll be there, and the online auction starts next Monday, including Felger and Maz sit-ins, where you get a chance to be a co-host for a segment. We'll take bids on that. We'll take four or five people to come in and do a segment with Felger and Maz. You can lead the segment. You can be a co-host. You can take calls. You can do whatever the F you want.
Yep, right up until the point where we unplug your mic.
if you swear or you're too annoying, then we'll have to adjust accordingly. So there's your Christmas in the City stuff. Murray, what do you got?
A couple of pieces of sound from today's show. First, you obviously are very fired up about that 2015 Bruins draft, which they botched. But you were absolutely apoplectic, Mike, when you found out that Jakub Zboril and this Thomas Chabot, Shalom Chabot were actually teammates in the minors.
Sean in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Sean. Oh, I'm sorry. I hit the wrong button. It doesn't matter. Brandon in Foxborough. Go ahead, Brandon.
Mike, what's going on? Do you know what team Thomas Chabot played for? He played on the same junior team with Jacob Zaboro.
Chabot and Zaboro both played on the St. John Sea Dogs in Quebec. Oh, and they took Zaboro. Thomas Chabot leads NHL defenseman in scoring right now. He was sitting right there on the board for you. And you took a player who you can't even call up in his fourth year. He sucks so bad.
And this kid's not more of a household name in terms
Chabot.
Of like, yeah, but because he's on Ottawa, like, right? Like, they should basically he's be also, relegated from the league right now.
We don't know neutral side hockey players. Right. I don't expect you to, but I looked it up today. He leads the NHL in defenseman scoring. Think of that.
More hockey today. The Seattle thing came up again.
Oh, yeah.
Because, a certain someone liked these potential hideous new uniforms for this potential hideous team name for the upcoming Seattle franchise in the NHL. Maz and I hated them.
Yep.
The Seattle Pilots. Look at that. Ugh.
Oh, that's hideous.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
Oh, I hate them.
Oh, I love them.
That one on the left is a joke. What is that supposed to be? Like an elf?
It's a logo. It's a Mariners logo, but they're Pilots, so I don't quite get it. But don't ask me. But you know what that is? You don't know what that is, do you?
Pilots?
The one on the far right, and you're not going to get the reference. It looks like Judge Dredd's uniform.
You're not going to get the reference. Who's Judge Dredd?
It's a Judge Dredd. It's
I don't care about
comic
that.
Book
Who's that?
Character. These are terrible.
They're gorgeous.
I'm
oh, my
Murray.
God. They're gorgeous.
I'm with Murray. I saw them, and I said, "These are the. Is he going to rip on these, or is he
oh, my
like
God.
These?
Oh, my God. Tweet them out. They're beautiful.
I think
they're
they
gorgeous.
Suck.
They're beautiful.
I think they suck.
Could you have more stripes?
You don't even get the historical reference.
I don't care the history of what's going on
so
in Seattle.
You all can F off. You know who the Milwaukee Brewers are and where they came from?
Yeah, Seattle Pilots baseball team.
Those were the Seattle Pilot uniforms in 1969, the baseball team.
Great. If I were alive then, they would suck then, too.
No, they were beautiful.
I think they suck.
Gorgeous.
That one on the left, that thing with the white, with the Mariner wheel, with what looks like ears. I think those are ears. They're supposed to be wings.
Wings.
Okay, they look like elf ears.
The one on the left?
What they look like.
Just looking at the ones on my left, I have movement. Like, I think I need a moment alone. I got to leave the studio and have a moment alone. They're so freaking beautiful.
I think they're embarrassing.
And they're the blue Seattle away? Oh, my God. That's the best uniform in hockey right out of the chute.
Oh, God. What's wrong with
gorgeous. Those are the ones. Seattle Pilots with those uniforms. Look at those.
Please. Embarrassing.
Terrible.
Okay. Those are bad unis.
The best uniforms I've ever seen. Just about.
I'm telling you, don't reinvent the wheel. Sock eyes.
I like the
salmon with a black eye and a hockey stick.
That's sort of reinventing the wheel. Let's name a team after a salmon. That's a little bit reinventing the wheel. This is old school.
A fish. Like what? As opposed to what? Name them after a duck?
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling helpline ma.org.